Welcome into the program today. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. We will go over NFL draft props with Brad Powers coming up in about 5 minutes. Paulie, some big news yesterday. First of all, the sports betting world that we live in right now expands, you know, by the state. It seems like on a weekly basis. What have we had now recently? Wyoming, Maryland, and now Arizona, all legalizing sports betting. And Arizona is big because I've always said, and I've been there, I've been to Phoenix 1,000 times, and I have a ton of friends there. And I've always told them that Las Vegas is basically Phoenix without the pro teams. This goes back years. And I said, Phoenix is basically Las Vegas with the pro teams, but no sports betting. Which one do you think is better? And I said, I would take Las Vegas without the pro teams and the sports betting over at Phoenix any day of the week, right? Well, now, Las Vegas, obviously, we have a bunch of pro teams, and it looks like Phoenix and Arizona, it doesn't look like they are. They're going to get legalized sports betting. So the power ranking in that city now goes up quite a bit. And David Purdom from ESPN Chalk had this story yesterday. The PGA Tour will be putting retail sports books at TPC Scottsdale. And that is that event, the Waste Management on Super Bowl weekend, is one of it's already one of the rowdiest events. It's one of the most popular events on the tour the entire calendar year.
I've been told a lot of eye candy, too. Now, this is, you get creative with the props and hole-in-ones and all the other business.
Absolutely. I mean,
yes.
Yep.
Wow, that's great.
So, three locations at TPC Scottsdale are being discussed for the, quote, 19th hole sports book, which will be open year-round and include in-person betting windows. The goal is to open the sports book by the Super Bowl of 2023. And the PGA Tour announced Wednesday that DraftKings will operate the first-of-its-kind sports book at this event.
All right.
So, huge. I mean, I think they get like 150,000 people there on the weekends. Bananas. I've never been to it. Again, a childhood friend of mine lived there for like 25 years. Every year. Mitch, is this going to finally be the year? He said, I cannot overhype this event. You got to come down.
I hope you never go.
And my response is, put it on a different weekend and I'll show up.
That's right.
I mean, I'm supposed to leave Las Vegas on Super Bowl weekend. It's impossible.
Maybe DraftKings is just a lifetime contract. You never go. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, would be.
You can't.
I can't even, like, I think we're up to...
Isn't that something? At least you have a shot with some items on a bucket list as we continue to crush it. And, you know, with our careers, it's that that's not coming off the bucket. You have no shot. There's no way you can go to that golf tournament ever.
In the foreseeable future. Oh, no, it's a gigantic underdog.
Yeah.
They would have to push the Super Bowl back. Which actually could happen, right?
Well, the other thing. What do you? It's still, but the week of the Super Bowl, legally, and what do you? You guys. We'll be back. Take a couple of days off here. What props? Who cares?
But don't you? I mean, when you watch 16 there and how much fun the fans have had over the years, it's like, God, I got to go there one time.
So you have a 4-year contract. So now you're 48. So you can't even make it until you're 50s. Then it's gonna be, what are you gonna do? What are you, 60 years old? Okay, let me hang out with the young kids here. You're 58 years old, up to the golf tournament?
By when the calendar flips to 2022, I will be closer to 60 than I will be to 30. Brad Power is going to join the show coming up next. We will get into NFL draft with him. He's not afraid to lay heavy juice betting this event. We'll ask him about that coming up next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Mets ace Jacob DeGrom, 0-1 with a 0.64 ERA in the season opener against the Phillies. He tossed 6 scoreless innings and a no decision. He's on the mound today as a $2.20 favorite against the Phillies, who are +190. Zach Eflin for Philadelphia, 7-over at Citi Field. Chris Paddock on the hill for the Padres as they look to end a 2-game slide as a $1.72 favorite at Pittsburgh. Pirates +157. They've won back-to-back games and upsets over the Padres. The total 8 flat in the Steel City. The Phoenix Suns are laying 10.5 at home today against the Kings. Our sports betting experts are analyzing baseball, hoops, hockey, soccer, tennis, and horse racing every day. Plus, our NFL experts are getting ready for the 2021 NFL Draft. Get all our in-depth insights and point spread weekly, our best bets daily email, and 24/7 video coverage. VSiN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
It's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Welcome back with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the largest offer of live in-play options. BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and one-time playthrough. Love their menu. So good. I don't know if they have this, but I know they have to win to nil in hockey. I wanted that with the Cubs bet yesterday. Ooh. But they have the win to nil every night with the hockey games. Bet Rivers does a great job. Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Play sugarhouse.com in Jersey. Yes.
All right, let's get into the NFL draft. Brad Powers joins the program now. Excellent at betting college football and follows his stuff year-round. He's already tweeting about spring practices and power ratings and guys returning. I think it's fascinating. He does such a bang-up job on this. First of all, Brad, thanks for the time as always. How are you today?
Hey, really appreciate you guys having me on. I hope all is well.
Same here. I want to begin with this. And as you told me, like in a DM yesterday, you're not afraid to really like lay heavy juice with the NFL draft. And I'm guessing like this is one of the only events or one of the only times throughout the entire calendar year in sports where you're willing to do something like that. But why? Explain why you think that makes a lot of sense for the draft.
Yeah, the only other time maybe would be Super Bowl prop bets, where the public comes in and wants to bet, you know, yes on safety and you know, yes on overtime. That's the only other event that you know, I'm not at least a little bit cautious as far as mm-hmm. laying a lot of juice, but. In this instance, I mean, you have to, I believe that the market more than I do, you know, Mel Kiper's mock draft, you know, an individual mock draft. So I'm not afraid, like, for example, I'll just use the best example I have right now is Zach Wilson going second overall. I think it's almost as sure of a thing as Trevor Lawrence going first overall pick. And there's a significant difference with Trevor Lawrence, you having to bet $10,000 to win $100, and Zach Wilson, you only having to bet at some shops as low as $1,100 to win $100. So, again, it's the one thing. I'm not going to say that it's free money, but I do believe that the market is sharper than any individual mock draft expert.
Okay, well said.
Mm-hmm.
So then what do you make of the market with Mac Jones and the number here to go number 3 overall, where not that long ago he was, I think, as high as plus $2 to go number 3, and I saw him recently like as high as minus 250. I think there's been some movement on that, but what do you think about Jones and that number overall at number 3?
So this is one where I'm another, you know, again, going back to I believe the market more than anything, I believe this isn't a smoke screen for me. You get a lot of smoke screens the final week of the NFL draft. And, you know, there's a reason for the movement, and that's obviously the 49ers trading up to the number 3 position. And the reality is you don't trade what the 49ers did as far as future draft picks and not know exactly who you're taking at number 3. And with all the movement on Mac Jones going 3rd overall, I'm going to believe that, and I think right now, if you can get, you know, minus 200 or even less than that, I think there's significant value. Going back to what I just said, I mean, the 49ers have to know who they're taking at mm-hmm. 3rd if they're going to give up all those draft picks. And, man, if they exactly know who they're going to take, it's got to be Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And I think minus 200 is cheap.
Brad, I said this earlier in the week. To your point on Wilson being priced in that range, minus 1,100 or minus 1,000, whatever, that's like if Kyle Pitts were priced in that range for the first tight end taken, I said that would have been the only bet I would have made probably in the NFL draft because I would have put a max bet everywhere possible. But he's priced in the same range as Trevor Lawrence to go as the first quarterback or the first pick in the draft. So, I mean, you're right. When you look around, you can find a lot of times where it makes some sense, like you're doing as well with the first offensive lineman, correct?
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously, Rashawn Slater is up there, an offensive tackle from Northwestern. But to me, Sewell from Oregon is almost a slam dunk to be the first offensive lineman taken in the draft. And right now, you can get him as low as minus 400. And I, again, think that price should be what you just explained, Mitch. I mean, it should be Trevor Lawrence going first, Kyle Pitts being the first tight end. Maybe not that high, but I would price it more in the minus 1,100, 1,200 range, and I can get minus 400. Again, not afraid to bet a lot to win a little, which you know, most professionals aren't afraid to do in some instances where the public's always looking to bet a little to win a lot.
College football expert Brad Powers, our guest at BradPowers7 on Twitter. Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vieson. He also likes offensive players over 17.5, 165 juice at BetMGM. Defensive players under 14.5, minus 150 also at MGM. How about some props you like with plus money? And this is interesting here. State your case for a dog with the running backs.
Yeah, so, you know, one site I like to use a lot is, again, I'm going back to what I said originally, that, you know, I necessarily don't care what Mel Kiper individually or Todd McShay individually has his new mock draft out. But what I do care about is consensus opinion, whether it be a consensus big board or a consensus mock draft. And this website, NFL Mock Draft Database, collects everything. I'm talking 1,000 mock drafts. And the great thing that they do is they evaluate it not only every single mock draft going back the last year or two, but also trend lines. What are the mock drafts saying the last week or two? And right now, not only are these mock drafts, but a couple other guys that I really trust in the marketplace, that just they only bet NFL year-round. That's all they care about. They are saying the word they're hearing is Travis Etienne, the outstanding running back for Clemson, is trending to go higher than Najee Harris, which is an upset. And right now you can get Travis Etienne to be the first running back selected at plus 225. So that's one of the very few plus money bets that I made so far.
How about defensive linemen?
Yeah, I'm going to go over. You know, it's going to be tough because you're going to watch the first 10, 12 picks in the draft, and you're not going to see any defensive linemen get taken. But I think there's going to be a run on them late. I mean, Paye, Phillips, Russo, Ojulari, Owe, Barmore, they all could go. So when I got 6-7 guys that possibly could go, I'm going to go over 4.5 total defensive linemen draft in the first round. And I'm expecting a lot of those picks to be, you know, in that, you know, 15 to 30 range. Going back to, you know, total offensive players and defensive players, obviously those match up. I mean, you guys look at as many mock drafts as I do. I mean, the offensive players, I mean, the first 8-9 picks are going to be offensive players. So, I mean, I know there'll be a little bit of a run on defensive players at the end, but I mean, you're going to start off with that bet 8 or 9-0. So I think that one, even though it's minus 165, I think that's cheap. I think that should be in the minus 225 range.
It's always a good discussion with Brad Powers. You are unbelievable at anticipating line movement, and your power ratings getting the best of the number, especially in FBS. How is FCS going for you?
You know, when we first talked about it a month ago, it was going horribly for me, even with closing line value. But the last month has been much kinder. I have made like 104 bets, Mitch and Paulie, and I've gotten the best of the number, 97 of those bets. So to struggle to get above 50%, after a really poor start was not anticipated on my behalf, but the last month I've been hovering right around 60%. There's been a little bit more stability as far as team's performance, and it's still a relatively soft market. Lower limits, but we're getting a little bit more consistency play out of some teams.
Okay. 97 out of 104, you said?
Yeah, 97 out of 104.
Oh, man.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
But, and we're not talking half points either. I mean, obviously, in traditional liquid markets like the NFL, obviously half point matters big time. But we're talking on average more than 3 points per game. So the expectation for me when you give me that sample size is I should be hitting 60-some percent for the season. Sure. I am the last month, but that first month was awful. It was so bad, guys. And I'm not a quitter when it comes to this stuff, but it was so bad that I almost gave it up.
Circa hasn't put the numbers up yet. Did you play anything? You like anything this week?
You know what? I have a few things, and the biggest game of the week is North Dakota State, South Dakota State. I'm going to keep this handicap simple. I mean, South Dakota State hasn't played in a month. They've had some COVID issues, and their opponents have had COVID issues. So I think there's going to be some rust there. North Dakota State's won 32 consecutive home games, and I'm laying less than a field goal here. North Dakota State, when they can turn it on like they did against rival North Dakota a few weeks back, I still think they're the best team at the FCS level. I, you know, at home in front of a good-sized crowd that South Dakota State isn't, you know, used to playing in front of this spring, and I think 1.5 seems cheap to me. I think that line closes 3.
All right. And watching some of these spring games, anything stick out to you? How did Mackenzie Milton look at Florida State, stuff like that?
Yeah, I think that is the biggest takeaway so far of the spring games that I've seen is Mackenzie Milton, an outstanding player at UCF, led them to that great two-year run that they had, but then had the horrific injury and hasn't played the last couple of years. Forget playing it at a high level. Yeah. I mean, there was concerns whether or not he'd be able to walk again. Watching him in the spring game last week, not only did he look capable, but he looked at playing like a Power Five capable starting quarterback, was able to throw the ball down the field accurately several times, and even taking off running, did not look like he had lost a step is all. And I expected him to lose 3-4 steps to be a little gimpy in the pocket. That was the biggest surprise takeaway that I've had so far. I think Florida State's going to be a much improved team.
All right, very good. You can follow Brad on Twitter. He is at BradPower7. We love talking to you, Brad. Thanks so much for the time today.
Hey, really appreciate you guys having me on. Take care.
Yep, you got it. There you go. Again, to recap awesome. Some of his bets that he likes. Again, shop around is the key here. Defining some of these numbers, but he's right. I mean, Zach Wilson, in his opinion, Zach Wilson is like the same percentage to go number two to the Jets as Trevor Lawrence is to go number one overall to the Jaguars. He's laying minus $11 BetMGM. He said he's mainly minus 2,000 or heavier at a bunch of books. He has first offensive lineman, Sewell, at minus $4, he said. I've seen him, I think the smallest I've seen on him is minus 715 in like the last month. But he got him at minus $4, and he's all in on Mac Jones, he said, as well. Buying it, doesn't think it's going to be a smokescreen. And he brought up a good point. So it's NFLMockDraftDatabase.com. Rather than looking at one or two mocks, that's the way you do it. You get the consensus. That's kind of like during March Madness. I know Lenardi's really, really good. Others are also fantastic. If you go to the Bracket Matrix, where they have like 112 different bracketologies, that's going to give you a better consensus than like one person. And as I've said all along now, it's, when Kuiper has a couple of trades already in like his top five or top 10, it's just like, those are so difficult to predict. And when you get one of them wrong, your entire mock draft just snowballs out of control. So there's no reason to even do it.
FTM at VSiN.com. You can always tweet at us as well. Great feedback on the tipping discussion yesterday. This is from Todd. Well-known New York steakhouse. Wine week, huge draw. Afternoon meal, my friends and I hit the bar, packed, ordered a round, handed my credit card to the bartender, asked him to keep it open. I gave him a 20 and let him know that's for you. Next time I was in the bar a year later during the same wine week, he not only recognized me but knew my name. I was amazed. That's from Todd.
I went back and forth with Todd on emails last night.
Oh.
He was blown away. He knows the bartender's name. It is. He told me the name of it. Very hot spot in New York City. He's been to that bar twice in his life. At the time, anyway. And the guy recalled it, knew him, snap call again, name, everything, and he saw him once the year before. That's astonishing to me.
John, anniversary 1998 in Vegas, Barry Manilow tickets. We had bad seats, but I wanted to move up. Another good angle here. I wanted to go up the front table, front row, and nice. Slipped the host a $50 bill. I said, can you help me out later? He goes, I'll see what I can do. Came looking for me. Escorted us out to a front row table all by ourselves. Same wife, Barbara Streisand, MGM, 1994. She's always late. We were staying at Bally's. We needed to take a cab. Extremely crowded. Have to leave on time. Don't want to get there late. A lot of money for tickets. The line for cabs was ridiculously long. Found the guy in charge of cabs. Needed to go ASAP. Handed him $50. I'm like, is he going to remember me? I have to get my wife. Well, the look on the expression of the people in line was priceless. I come down. He motions me to the front of the line. Opens the door. Calls the cab. Bam. Money talks at Vegas. Right in.
That might be my biggest pet peeve.
Which is what?
Lack of punctuality. My wife is running late all the time.
Yeah.
I've told this story on the air before.
I understand. Yeah, it's like, this is what you want. This is my gift to you. It's a big moment. Can you, it shouldn't take 2 hours to get ready.
True story. Good friend of mine here in town. You know him as well. I won the last man standing with him back in 2006. He once told a fiance to get lost because she was late one too many times. Ended it right there on the spot. So said, I'm not going to live the rest of my life with you. You are late. Far too consistent. I'm done. Bye.
Yep.
Right there. He's the kind of guy that'll do that too.
Yeah.
So, but I don't blame him. I don't blame him. If it's out of control like that, and there's no matter what, you have to, like, if you have 9 o'clock plans, you got to tell him 7:15, 7:30.
Oh, no.
Because if not, it's going to be out the door at 9:30 and you're going to be running late on him. It just, the anxiety level that I get, because I hate being late myself.
Me too.
I always want to be 5, 10, 15 minutes early.
Well, imagine it now with how restaurants are with time limits now.
Of course. And
then I've been there before. 6 o'clock. And can you make it 6:15? Can you make it 6:30?
Yeah.
How about 6:45? How about I go home?
Yep. It's acceptable once or twice, but to have
you can't allow it. Oh, yeah, you're right. You just, if you don't put your foot
down. You got to put your foot down and say no more. Otherwise, it's, you know, see you later time.
That's right.
All right, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Yeah. Email is ftm@vsin.com. We have some really good roulette stories to pass along as well later on in the program. Some NFL Rookie of the Year numbers are already out. And yes or no, will Jimmy G be the starting quarterback for the 49ers in week one? We will tell you those odds coming up next. From the OddsTrader.com studio at Circa Resort and Casino, OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now and start winning with up to the second info that you need. You're going to get real-time bet tracking. You can also compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses at OddsTrader.com. Some prices here, Paulie. Odds are out, globally speaking, for the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think this is interesting that you can maybe bet on this stuff before the draft actually takes place. But, of course, Trevor Lawrence is the favorite at 11-4. Followed by Justin Fields and Zach Wilson at plus 450. Kyle Pitts is plus 750. Mac Jones is 10. Chase and Lance are 12. You think Lance is going to get, well, who knows where he's going to go, obviously.
Enough snaps, yeah.
Smith, Waddle, Najee Harris, Etienne are 14-1. Javonte Williams, 16. Tony, the wide receiver from Florida. Bateman from Minnesota, 18. Along with Marshall, the wide receiver at 18. I think Marshall's probably going to be a first-round pick. That's another guy to keep an eye on.
All right.
He's moving up some charts. And Kyle Trask, 25-1. I will tell people this. Wait until you see some of the numbers pop here in Las Vegas. I know many of you do not live here, but if you're traveling here like in the summertime, going to come out here for the contest, Las Vegas will offer really good numbers on Rookie of the Year. Circa, for sure. Their numbers on Rookie of the Year last year were phenomenal. And they kept him up all year long. They kept up Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, all that stuff.
MVP,
all of it. It was great.
Well, Garoppolo be the starter game one. Yes, minus 150. 150? They want a first-round pick? That's not happening. I can't see it.
I think 150 is low.
Yeah.
Right, so it's definitely low, in my opinion, if Mac Jones is the pick at number three. It actually might be too high if Justin Fields is number three. Because I think Justin Fields is more ready to play like tomorrow than Mac Jones is. But will Fitzy retire Larry Fitzgerald before game one? The yes is now minus $5. Unfortunate that Larry Fitzgerald could never win a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so close.
One of my favorite stats all this ever covering sports. More tackles than drops.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater, next team. Broncos are the favorite, then the Patriots and the Bucks. Bucks and Saints 5-1. I would think if he winds up in Denver, I would like that fit in New England. That'd be a good fit.
Would he be the opening day starter?
Absolutely.
Over Cam Newton?
Absolutely.
I think it would have to be.
Yes.
Do the Texans make sense at 6-1?
No.
Oh, they're going to have to plug the gap somehow. Even if it's for four games, eight games, something like that.
They got Tyrod. Oh, Tyrod. You want both guys?
I would absolutely think you got to bring in one more guy. Maybe I'm dead wrong on that. Yeah. But there's a chance Watson doesn't play at all next year. So, are you, I mean, I get it. Their win total is 4.5 as we speak. I would bring in another quarterback. Steelers are 7-1. And then the next team for Alex Smith next year. Jets are 2-1.
What do you think of that move?
That might make some sense, right? Because that team for sure will need somebody behind Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jacksonville, 5-2. They're totally fine with Minshew as the backup.
They're looking to move him, though.
But if they don't, I would not move that guy. I would keep him, explain to him, like, yes, you're going to be the backup. If something happens, you're going to be the starter again this year. Do you think the Colts make sense, plus 350? Broncos here, 5-1.
Wentz is always hurt.
Yeah.
Can't stay healthy. But much better offensive line, though.
And the Falcons are 7-1. The number 4 pick is still, obviously, that's the game changer, potentially, of the entire draft.
How about all these Justin Fields apologists coming out of the woodwork nonstop when you watch the coverage? Like, what?
I honestly don't watch the coverage, I have no idea.
Well, okay, but if you're going to bring up the... If you're going to bring up the Clemson game, you have to bring up the Northwestern game when he was horrendous. But that's...
He was...
Is it his fault that every time the guy's wide open by 20 yards like Mac Jones? No, but that's what it is. It's hard to evaluate these quarterbacks. At least with Zach Wilson, I think it's easier to evaluate him. That you look at the throws and what he did at his pro day and the fact that a lot of these guys, they don't have the same talent what they had with BYU wide receivers.
Right.
What he was dealing with. And he was beating you... with his arm and through the with his legs, but to me it was like somebody watched that guy play and said, "No, he's not going to be my starter." That wasn't the right decision, but still,
no, clearly it was not. I don't know. I thought he was awesome. I thought he was great. If the wide receiver doesn't break off his route against Clemson 2 years ago, maybe that's a touchdown. They were better than Clemson that day.
Yeah,
they should have been in back-to-back national title games. And that team, I said it before they lost, I said this team has a better chance to beat LSU than Clemson did.
And Lance is a wild card, too.
Totally.
Again, we've seen him once in 400 days.
Yep. Maybe a little NBA card coming up next. Without looking it up, I bet you can't guess which player has taken the most shots in the league since the All-Star break. Are you ready? Download the PointsBet app today. Sign up with the promo code VSIN2K to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. And when you bet with PointsBet, you're going to get faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards right at your fingertips. Download the PointsBet app today to experience this premium sportsbook for yourself. So, are you ready? Terms and conditions apply. Void where prohibited. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. We only have 4 games tonight, Paulie, in the association. One game sticks out to me. Again, it's early here. I'm not going to be making too many regular season NBA bets this early in the morning just because of the lineup changes that we could have as soon as our show's over with, player sitting, load management, etc. But the Celtics are laying 6 against the Lakers. Total here is 212.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Too much. Boston's playing well, but the Lakers have figured this out now in the LeBron and AD absence. Playing good ball. That was a horrible spot at Charlotte the other night. 4 games in 6 days. Won that.
Yeah.
Routed the Nets. Starting to figure it out now. Good for them. But Boston laying too much on the road for me. Suns are double digits. 10-229. Sacramento just wants to get the season over. Boy, this is ugly. 1-6 ATS run against teams with a winning record. 0-4 last 4 on the road. They've lost 8 in a row. They're on a back-to-back. I should have been stronger on the Wizards last night. Wizards were playing well. Sacramento wasn't. You saw how that went. 11.5 now? Wow. Turn your head. They slip one in on you. Like Uncle June watching the soaps.
Well,
11.5 now with the Suns. But this is where the Suns, no way. They take down these bad teams.
No way?
No, I don't want to lay 11.5. They screw around. Rockets.
There were like 4 or 5 games in there since like February. I will tell you this. The under is 7-2 last 9 between these two playing in the regular season. But, you know, when Aaron Renning told us that number earlier this week, what, it was 40-16-1, double-digit favorites covering since mid-February. That's absolutely come back to the pack this week. But you have another example of that tonight with these two teams. Just, take care of business here. I don't want to have a stupid sweat on my hands tonight against the Kings with this division bet that we have on the Suns. Milwaukee's at Atlanta. They're laying a big number tonight. Atlanta is 11-5 ATS against Milwaukee since 2016.
Big game.
But they did lose the last two. And the Bucks here.
Is this freak? It's up to seven. Gotta be. Atlanta's got a ton of guys out, but this should be out. There are sevens out there, six at DraftKings.
But playing well.
Yeah.
Division in their sights.
Always be shopping. This goes into yesterday. At William Hill, the Mavs were $8 to win the division. Bet Rivers, they were $16.50. How about that difference, my friend?
Wow.
Then they beat Memphis. Memphis was 13-1. Pelicans 22-1 at William Hill, 50-1 at Bet Rivers to win the division. Clippers $1.25 to win the Pacific at William Hill, $1.60 at Bet Rivers. And now Atlanta's got a two-game lead over Miami in the division in the Southeast.
The funny thing is, we each like the Hawks before the season started. But then
it's a play. Well, the difference between a playoff team and catching Miami.
Sure. Yeah, and winning that division. We cooled on them. And then before they actually fired their coach, like, this team stinks.
Absolutely.
I was way wrong on them.
Yep, I admit, yeah.
Got him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Players didn't like him. They are five games above 500 right now. They're currently the four seed.
And the Knicks won again.
Yes, of course.
Beat the Pelicans. Job by Tibbs.
The Knicks are the six seed. So right now in the playoffs, by the way, this would be good. Before that win was finalized last night, the Knicks, they were sitting at the seven. If we got Nets-Knicks first round, Brooklyn and New York going at it.
Strong.
Oh, man, the fans back there, that would be terrific.
What were the Mavs in play at William Hill? Down 2, 3 seconds, Grayson Allen at the line. What do you think the in play was?
Grayson Allen at the free throw
90%.
Line. 90%. I would have to make it 8-10-1.
How about 550? I couldn't believe it. There were 550
plus
to win
550
the game.
To win
That's
the game.
It. Yeah. He makes both. It's over. He should. He should at least make one. Then he can foul. All you need one style.
Everything has to go right there.
Yeah.
That's like the guy that we talked to from who won the last man standing. Everything had to go right for him to win the college basketball last man standing. And it did.
How many times will that guy miss two free throws in a row?
Oh, man.
In that situation. And Luka hits the three and he's falling down, stumbling. Count it.
Yep.
It was Dave Pasch, I believe. Couldn't believe it.
He's so far ahead of the three-point line when he lands that it looks like it's like a 15-footer.
Yeah. Oh, God. Huge. Huge. If they go over their win total, remember that shot. And if they win the division and it's close, remember that shot. If they lost that game, they only went up a half game on Memphis. And you're right. Treacherous schedule the rest of the way for Memphis. An easy schedule for Dallas. But still, they just lost at home to San Antonio.
Yep.
They stink at home. In the Clipper game. God. Catching two, the Clippers are laying two. Detroit's up 11 with 4 minutes. They lost the game by two. And the Clippers sat everybody. But that's the other thing, which, how you handicap this stuff. Number one, who's playing? And then what are we going to look like with all these guys out when it happens?
Yeah.
But to me, the big story continues to be OKC. How historically bad power rating-wise is this outfit? Just getting throttled every night by 20. They lost by double digits to the Jazz. They hung in there. But they had a big lead early, and the Jazz said, let's get serious. Come on. And they win by 10. Golden State had 125 points at the end of the third quarter, and they took it easy on them in the fourth. They had a 105 with 5 minutes in the third. Okay? 147-109. The game's at home. They play the Cavs at home. They lose by 25. They play the Pistons at home. They lose by 25.
I mean, think of some of the recent awful teams we've had in the NBA. Lowest power rated teams in the last 10, 15 years, whatever. I think right now, current form, this OKC team, Paulie, has to be probably below whatever team comes to mind. I mean, that 76ers team, I think, was it the lockout year, like 2012-ish, when they played 66 games? Didn't they win like 9 games?
Sounds about right.
I mean, they were just absolutely dreadful. I think this OKC team right now is probably as bad as that team. The Cavaliers over in recent years, when they've been, LeBron's gone, whatever, no Kyrie, they were just straight, they were disgusting. And that tells you something. when Houston was running as poorly as they were a couple of weeks back, and I text Jeff Sherman at the very beginning of this for OKC, I'm like, how do you rank the bottom five teams in the NBA right now? He said, OKC is the worst, and they're on a level all by themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like...
That's right.
And that was when Houston was like...
You lose a 19 in a row.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't even compete. Oh, God. Look, they look at the game log with the Thunder. The drive off the road, if you look at it. Pull over if you look at if you want to look at the Thunder game log.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Again, had to make a play as of right now. I would probably take the Lakers plus the 6 points against the Celtics, but it's very early in the morning, so we'll wait on that. A really big card tonight in the National Hockey League and top over-under teams in the sport as we have approximately a month left to go in the season.
DraftKings Sportsbook now. Get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Simply download the app, use the promo code VSiN, and get started with the only book that matters, DraftKings. You can bet on it. DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. That is awesome. VSiN is the code. You get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Big card. Good card tonight in hockey. Before we get to that, thanks to Covers.com. Top over and under teams this season in hockey. The Flyers, who are 5-0 to the over head-to-head against Pittsburgh, and they collide tonight. 28-14 to the over on the season. Capitals 25-16. Arizona 25-17. Top under teams, Islanders 25-16 to the under. Likewise with the Red Wings. Same with Anaheim. Bruins 24-15. Rangers 24-16. That surprises me. And then you got the Oilers on there as well. 23-17. The DraftKings put up the Maple Leafs line. Toronto is $1.60, 6 the total. It's going to be our guy, Jack Campbell, 11-1 with a 1.98 goals against and a .930 save percentage. Jets have lost 7 of 8 on a back-to-back. Got the win in Ottawa last night. Now the back-to-back. They're finishing off a 5-game road trip. Toronto wins tonight. Campbell gets the win, 12-1. Lock up the division. Let's go. Don't you agree?
How do you want to bet it?
I'll leave the $1.60. I like the under 6, too. It's going to be Campbell, it's got to be.
As of right now, he is the projected starter.
It's the biggest game of the season, and they can wrap up the division with a win.
Why would they not go with
him? He didn't play in the last game, right. Right.
Another night off, maintenance, whatever. I think he's going to have to go.
Okay. Now, this is good with Nashville, and we'll be on different sides of this. I'm on Carolina to win in regulation, but I think the price is telling you something here. Nashville is hot. They've won 11 of 13. Carolina's $1.95 here at Circa. Nashville's 1-11 last 12 against Carolina. Carolina just had back-to-back home losses to Detroit, of all people. They're 14-3-4 at home. But let's do a deeper dive. Let's inspect the Predators. Let's take a look here at the Predators. So, you know, listen. Congratulations, you've won 11-13. You're playing good hockey. But... And they're 4 points up on the Blackhawks for that final playoff spot. Let me look at the resume. Well, when you look at the resume, and they thumped Tampa Bay the other night, so good job. Dallas, Detroit, Chicago, Dallas, Chicago, Detroit, Dallas, Florida. Those are the wins going back. So it's a nice run. It came out of nowhere. It's an impressive run. The defense and the goaltending's been superb. But look at who they're playing. Okay? So, 3-11 run against teams with a winning record. And they can't beat Carolina for whatever reason. And I think most people look at that and say, wow, $2, that's crazy.
Well,
but I think Carolina takes them out and I'll go in regulation tonight.
So, the streak really kind of started on March 15th. They were taking on Tampa Bay on the road. This was the second consecutive game against Tampa. They played two nights earlier. And Nashville closed a plus 260 dog, and they won 4-1. And then three nights later, they played at Florida. They were plus 180. They also won that game. They played three nights after that at Dallas. They were plus 165. They won that game. And then since then, you know, plus 105 at Chicago, that was a win. Even money at home to the Stars, that was a win. And then the other night, like you said, plus 130 against Tampa was a win. Every other game they've been $1.50, $1.70, even as high as $1.75. That was the price when they took out the Red Wings 7-1 back on March 25th. So they've been playing pretty good hockey now for at least a month. And they have some, you know, nice wins as a dog. But for the most part, you're absolutely spot on where they came as a, you know, a pretty decent favorite.
Three great races in three of the divisions. Carolina has 58 points. Well, they all have 58 points. Carolina's played 41, Tampa 42, Florida 43. Three-way tie. In the East, Washington has 60 points. Islanders have 58. The Penguins have 56. Washington has a game in hand on both of them. I don't think it's going to happen, but don't count out Boston. They have three games in hand and a lot left against New Jersey and Buffalo.
I want to get their schedule. I got to pull that up.
I think it's seven left against the two combined. I could be wrong, but yeah, as you're going to bring it up, I'll keep going. So, Tampa is off a 7-2 loss. We've already played this angle before. We had an easy winner last week. I'll come right back with it. In hockey, I really love the bounce back spot, especially after you get humiliated. And that's what happened in the last time out against Nashville. 4-0 overrun, head-to-head here in this matchup against Florida. Why are they only $1.50, right? Florida, 3-11, last 14 against Tampa. From the amazing but true department, Lightning, 53-12 run when held to two goals or fewer in the previous game. That's in play again. Even money at DraftKings to win in regulation. Giddy up.
All right, so here's Boston's remaining schedule. Islanders tonight and tomorrow night.
They're 0-5 against the Islanders.
Yep. They need to at least split, right? Okay, so the next four games here, tonight, tomorrow night, and then Sunday, Monday, it looks like Sunday, Tuesday, they play Washington. They must take care of business on home ice because then they go to Buffalo for three straight games. That's when they can really start to clean house. They follow that up with two games at Pittsburgh, more difficult. They come back home end of the month and on May 1st. They get Buffalo two more times. Then they're at New Jersey twice before they come back home to the Rangers two more times. They finish out with the Islanders and then at Washington.
You got to go at least 6-1 there with the seven against Buffalo and New Jersey.
Yeah.
And that's still not going to be enough, but may not be enough
because
now they're playing against other teams.
Because this current home stretch right now, five games overall, they can't have a losing record. They just can't. And as you've said now many times, yeah, they have been owned so far by the Isles.
Some streaks from Chris Otto. Goal in the first 10. Devils, yes, 6-0. And a 13-2 run, yes. Pittsburgh, 5-0. Ottawa, 11-0 over third period. First period overs. Flyers, Bruins, Sabres, 6-0. Leafs, Capitals, Stars, 4-0. Some good numbers there. Pittsburgh, I like Pittsburgh too today. Now it's a Dave Malinsky special. They just finished that long road trip and now they're at home. They're 16-3-1 at home. They were $1.60 against the Flyers? And they are 106 to win in regulation at DraftKings. I think they're great at home. I like the Penguins too. I love the Lightning. I like the Penguins. And I'll take Carolina based on the history. Capitals are $3 against Buffalo. How about the Rangers, $2? Only 4 points back of Boston as well, and the Devils have lost 7 of 8 now.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Stars and the Blackhawks there, and the Blackhawks got a big one against the Red Wings. They're $1.50.
Would you consider Penguins at all on the puck line today?
What is it?
Plus 145.
Not enough.
Not enough?
They
okay.
were frisky in those two games on Long Island against the Islanders, though. How about shout out to our old friend, the common man, Dan Cole in Minneapolis. I love this. How about on something or onto something? Will a casual fan in a month or two check the MLB standings and just be blown away and shocked by the Dodgers' record? Could we see a 55-10? Am I on something or onto something?
No, you might be onto something. I've heard people make the case that they're going to, you know, that 116 games by the Mariners, like that could happen. That could fall this year. I think there's a hashtag out there right now, like 117 tied into for a regular season record. They remember, this team has done this before. Not the same makeup, but
on pace.
Remember when they first brought in Manny Ramirez? Mm-hmm. Didn't they go like 42-8?
Yeah, you're right.
There was that one year where over a 50-game stretch, I think they won 42 games. It was unbelievable. That other year, they started 16-16, I believe. Or was it 16? Who am I? There was a team that started 16-26, I think. Was that the Dodgers?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
And they got hot as bleep is. Yeah.
They were scorching hot then beyond that, and you couldn't touch them.
106 wins 2 years ago, on pace for 116 last year if it was a full season.
I like this question. How many times this year will the Dodgers be a dog?
That's good.
Like, right? I mean, if they
look what they're sending out there every game.
If they want to go out there with an edge, it means something to them. They're not sitting, you know, anybody. They'll give guys days off for sure, but I mean.
You mentioned this earlier. You were watching the Cubs game on Marquee. The combined batting average across all of MLB is .235, the lowest since 1876. Are we going to see a record amount of shutouts and no-hitters this year? Am I on something or onto something?
I mean, I'm all in with the pitching this year.
Huh.
I don't think
these performances.
I think we're going to see this unless we have a major injury to like a lot of starting pitchers. And knock on wood, my God, I hope that doesn't happen. I think we're going to see some absolutely bonkers, like season-long numbers by some of these guys. DeGrom going again today.
Mm-hmm.
He might lose 2-1 again. Who knows? Because they can't get him any run support.
Like Burns.
But of course.
No run. Yeah. What he's done. That's a story.
That stretch from him. And I mean, the game has complete. Paul, the sport has done a total of 180 from not that long ago when we were setting records like on a daily basis and a yearly basis for sure with most home runs. And now it's basically home run or nothing. .235 is the batting average. As I said earlier, 14 teams are batting below .230 as we speak.
MLB stats on Twitter. Burns is the first pitcher since 1906 to have 30 strikeouts and no walks in his first three starts of a season. He's six strikeouts away from breaking Wainwright's mark for the most strikeouts before a first walk. He was 35 and no walks in 2013. Ridiculous.
You got to watch his next start.
Oh! Filthy. Now, you got to fade Bauer, but more so DeGrom. But what a call by Vasgersian. 45-1.
Oh, no doubt.
For Cy Young. Great call, Matty Vasgersian.
Yeah.
And then the Red Sox. This has never happened before. When was this? 125 years with this, too?
I think it's the first time in 120 years.
Yeah. They 0-3, and now they've won 9 in a row. What a story that is.
I know. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. More feedback from the show today and from yesterday. Some tremendous guys are convinced roulette spinners, dealers, can put the ball where they want.